Welcome to CUTV News Radio, where our hosts Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters talk to today's top thinkers from all around the world to bring you information, inspiration, and thought-provoking ideas that you can put to use in your personal or professional life right now. Covering a broad range of topics, we dig deep to discover what makes today's top thinkers tick. CUTV News Radio, it's the show where ideas matter. And now, here's today's host, Jim Masters.
We thank you very much for joining us, everybody. This is Jim Masters. We are live worldwide on CUTV News Radio, 1 p.m. Eastern here at the Broadcast Center. It is Monday, July 29th, 2019. We hope you had a wonderful weekend, and thanks for joining us for CUTV News Radio Live. Our very special guest is one of our favorites here on CUTV News Radio Live. We've been doing an extended series with her. She is Christine Rose. She is a phenomenal coach, author, speaker, and a catalyst for women. And if you've been on a hero's journey, if you've returned from maybe facing and conquering your obstacles, you might relate to Christine Rose. She also rose above an abusive childhood to establish a career in business and later on a successful coaching practice. And she is today an official member of the Forbes Coaches Council, an ICF associate, certified business and executive coach, and a Taylor Protocols certified coach. And she helps clients to know themselves and grow their teams, profits, and companies. And beyond her coaching honors, Christine is well regarded as a speaker and an author who brings great insight, wisdom, and concern to each subject. In addition to speaking on the subject of growing small businesses, she's passionate about women, their rights, their intellect, and talents, and empowering them to reach their fullest potential. She's been with us here on CUTV News Radio Live before. She's in the midst of her series with us exclusively right now. And as I've mentioned, I've had the opportunity and the honor to meet her personally in a television video interview as well. Of course, we've been also talking most recently about her phenomenal book, Life Beyond #MeToo, forthcoming book, which offers a coach's perspective on the sexual harassment, abuse, assault topic. It includes personal stories, thought-provoking questions, and resources for victims and those who care about them. Plus, something we can all benefit from, a look into what it'll take to transform what was before #MeToo into what could be. This exclusive series, Christine is sharing with us the glimpse into her book, but also each episode, a different theme. And today we're talking about the new normal in the marketplace. And it's going to be a fascinating conversation as we present that and bring that to light for you and everybody around the world that is listening, because we reach a global audience as well here on CUTV News Radio Live. But first, without further ado, let's welcome our very special guest who happens to be in the greater Seattle, Washington area. And she says it's a beautiful day there in the Pacific Northwest, as it is here on the other side of the coast or the country, on the East Coast, here in the Northeast. Christine, welcome back to CUTV News Radio Live. It's always a pleasure to have you with us, and nice to have you on the show today.
Hi, Jim. It's so great to be with you. Thank you. And hello to the audience.
You are very, very welcome. We all welcome you, Christine, and thanks for being with us. You know, you're, as we've been talking about it, it's very, very exciting. You're putting the finishing touches to your book, Life After #MeToo, which can be explored. And I'll give people this Facebook address. It's facebook.com/lifebeyondmeToo. And of course, that's T-O-O as opposed to the letter two. Just how common would you say sexual harassment is in the workplace these days?
Jim, I think what we've learned from Me Too, and unfortunately even still, it's commonplace. In the United States, a third of women have reported harassment from male coworkers. 25% of women have reported harassment from men with influence over their work and career. And when you get outside the United States, you know, for listeners around the world, there are, you know, there's a variety. In some countries, it's much higher percentage. In some countries, it's a little lower. The UCLA has a world policy Analysis Center, and they've reported that 68 countries have no workplace-specific laws against sexual harassment. And in there, those countries, it is much higher. If you think about it globally, 424 million working-age women, 235 million in the workforce. There's nothing legally that protects them against a predatory coworker or a boss or a discriminatory workplace. So that's just, if we think about the reported numbers that we know, we also know that 3 out of 4 people experiencing harassment in the workplace never tell anyone in authority about it. Instead, they either avoid the harasser, downplay the gravity of the situation, ignore or try to forget or endure, or they leave. So it's really still, unfortunately, too commonplace. And that's what I call old normal. And I'm looking for a new normal where we have a world that doesn't have any more harassment or discrimination or abuse in the workplace.
That's important, and what a beautiful world that would be. And I know you're on the forefront of working to try to facilitate that as best as you can, getting the information out. And you state in the book that old normal allowed employers to play at being concerned about ending sexual harassment. So let's define that. Let's talk about, what you mean by that, and how does old normal contribute to harassment in the workplace?
Yeah, Jim, in the book, I have a story by a woman that we call Kathleen. The stories in the book are anonymous. And she experienced sexual harassment as a contract worker in a school district. And she was very concerned for the students at the school. And so she reported the harassment incident to the principal, who acted promptly to address the issue, contacted human resources in the school district, et cetera. And she also reported it the same day to the contract agency manager where she was working, who actually was her employer. And they responded very differently. They asked her to keep it to herself. They actually asked her, did you report it to the school, and said they were disappointed because she did, because they were in negotiations with the school district and they didn't want to have anything jeopardize their potential renewal of their contract. They didn't actually offer to do anything for her, even move her to another school or anything. So those are two different responses to the same incident. One I would put into old normal, and the new normal is where the concern for the employee, the concern for the community causes people to take action. In the book, I report on an interview that I did with a human resource consultant with over 40 years of experience in business and over 25 years of HR experience. His name is Simon Casas. And Simon said, we have a country full of employees who don't want to be held accountable, and employers who choose not to hold employees accountable for a variety of reasons. So old normal, which I talk about in the book, is really about using people and covering up people, using people. And new normal is about caring for people. And when we care, we hold people accountable. That's the bottom line. We already know businesses have a legal, ethical, and economic responsibility to take reports seriously. It financially puts them at risk if they don't. But in old normal, businesses haven't. It's been about, let's just avoid this issue. In the best case scenario, in old normal, businesses have treated sexual harassment as a financial risk, which it is. But it's more because the employee can, it can cause depression, anxiety, PTSD. It can, because it continues if it's not stopped. It can develop into health issues for the victim. We already talked about this in other shows. And since most harassment claims are still not reported because there's fear of retaliation, there's a stress of having to deal with it, employers who tolerate it are in the new normal are going to lose the talent war.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. And that's a lot to consider, especially when people are, you know, looking to possibly expand and grow. And the last thing you need is for the talent to not be there, for people to jump ship. So setting the tone and having it be a positive one for all is key and essential. So we talked about earlier in the series, Christine, you touched on some of the changes in the marketplace since the hashtag MeToo social media wave had started. Can you elaborate for us on what businesses are actually doing, some of the steps that you've seen they've been taking? Because this goes way beyond just having policies in place. You got to have actions and actionable things happening.
Right. And I think that employers are seeing the pressure from both from their employees and from the work and from the culture, that it's not enough just to have policies in place. Customers are requiring change from businesses that they patronize. And in new normal, businesses that tolerate discrimination or harassment aren't going to make it. So leaders are aware that there's a culture shift happening, and they are starting to take responsibility. So, for example, they're starting to cultivate a culture of diversity, which the research has shown that if, you know, one thing to do to create a safer workplace is have more women at every level of the organization. Just it does reduce risk of harassment. That's one thing. So companies are starting to do that. Companies are also starting to look at designing for diversity. There's a book called What Works, Gender Equity by Design by Iris Bonet. She's the dean at Harvard Kennedy School. And they are putting those things into practice. Things like eliminating disclosure agreements, which is, one step. Businesses in old normal. I'm sorry about the interruption there. Businesses in old normal, what they would do is require non-disclosure agreements of employees coming in. So if there were any claims like this, that they would be kept secret. But as we saw with Google, employees are asking, hey, but we need to drop these, and companies are doing that. So those are some of the steps that businesses are taking. It's definitely movement in the right direction.
So that's really important to know. And it's positive to know that they're taking steps in the right direction. And I think, in many respects, there was the pressures of being in the news and people stepping up, saying, you know, no more, and the coverage that's received. And then also a number of people really just looking in the mirror and maybe just saying, look, we've got to change the atmosphere here. We've got to really make it all inclusive. We've got to really make things fair. We've got to make sure that everybody is heard and any issues are taken care of and dealt with immediately. So that's good news to know that things are headed in that right direction. What else do you think businesses have done in the old normal in terms of sort of protecting themselves legally? What also do you think needs to be done to protect employees as well?
Yeah, so in the past, companies were really more concerned, I think, about protecting themselves, like you said. So they would write policies, they would post them, they would deliver the employee handbook, and that, you know, once a year they might do a training. They definitely had non-disclosure agreements and insisted on those. And they were working on legal protection for the company. And so we've reached a point where that's not enough anymore, that companies need to demonstrate that they have a culture of safety, that they care about their employees, and that they want to protect their employees. So policies, so it starts with leadership. The leadership in the company really needs to own this issue and to be very firm about what's going to happen. You know, the policies need to be firmly in place and clearly communicated from day one, even for small companies. And we're talking, you know, when you first start, language needs to put the harassment on the responsibility on the predator. It is the predator's fault and it cannot happen. Mm. And the whole organization has to know that if this happens, it's not the target's fault, it's the predator's fault. And no matter what level they're at in the organization, they will be fired, that they will not be rewarded, that they will not be compensated, that it's a, you know, it's absolutely a zero tolerance policy, and it needs to be from the top down, and it needs to be modeled. So also, policies haven't always mandated bystander training or intervention or reporting. And sometimes it's just been about, you know, an individual who's been harassed is the one who's supposed to report. But we're kind of in a time where companies will get help on developing a team that's trusting and an environment that's trusting if everyone who already knows what's going on now has the power behind them in the company through their policies to say, hey, we're gonna report. Legally, if there's a company with 10 employees, two of the owner and a supervisor and advisor, and the other eight know, hey, there's harassment happening, there could definitely be a case made that the leaders know harassment's happening. So in any level of company, making sure that reporters and bystanders intervene, that's important to do. I mean, companies have sometimes, you know, somebody reports harassment, they haven't kept much in the way of records about it. And, you know, there was nothing that could be proven in court because there weren't written records of victims reporting the harassment. So companies need to keep records. The EEOC has a great website, EEOC.gov. That's a resource for those who may get into litigation about it. I'm not a legal advisor, but I think you can research the EEOC for information there. But it really pays to have a zero tolerance, clear policies into effect, simple, effective procedures for reporting. It really pays for companies to have their human resources be highly responsive when reports are made, like the school district and not like that contract agency I was talking about earlier.
So again, all of this is in a forward positive movement for all involved, which I think is a great thing. And what would you say as far as what's happening now, Christine, and what more is involved to sort of create this new normal in the marketplace? And how do you define for the audience who's saying, okay, what is, they keep talking about new normal in the marketplace. What actually is that? How do you define what that is? And what are some other things that they can do to help create that and maintain the new normal in the marketplace?
Right. And so you want to get the book and go ahead and go to the Facebook page to learn more about new normal and old normal. In the book, we use, I refer to a model, and I've mentioned it in other parts of the series, so I encourage people to go back and listen to the series. But if you see the Me Too social media wave as being a transformational moment where there was an awareness raised of just how big harassment is and how big sexual violence has been, and not just from, you know, some institution, but actually from the people who had experienced it, telling their stories often for the first time. If this was a transformational moment, then when you look back at what happens before that, I call that the old normal or the old rule set. And if it's changing something and we want to create a different reality for our daughters, our sisters, our mothers, our grandmothers, you know, in the book, I tell a story about a 104-year-old woman who died of rape injuries, you know, so I mean, it's not just in the workplace. The book deals with all sorts of issues around sexual discrimination and violence. But a new normal would be a rule set that we've put into place as we kind of look at culture and say, okay, culture's feeding this old rule set that allowed all these stories to take place. Let's look at what we could do to create a new culture, a new rule sets that are safer, so that, you know, in my vision, what we would have is a world where there are no more Me Too stories, where we just don't have any more sexual violence, any more sexual harassment. And when people agree on the ground rules deeply, you know, we certainly could move the needle in that direction. So you ask what's happening and, you know, kind of what more would it take to create this new normal in the marketplace. So as I already mentioned, you know, dropping the non-disclosure agreement requirement, for example, is a good one. Companies are boosting training, and that happened almost immediately after the Me Too social media. So that was, we're going on almost 2 years. In October, it will be 2 years. So a lot more money's been spent on training. You know, I know Boeing, for example, in its plans has 24/7 video going on about harassment and discrimination and how not make sure you're not doing that. There's been work on increasing diversity of the workforce, and that's good. Companies are starting to look at structure and design to increase accountability and to reduce risk. We know that silos and concentrations of power put team members at a greater risk. And so companies are starting to look at the structure of their organization and power and how to have more cross accountability and make it safer by reducing, you know, any individual's amount of power. So that's a start. But business owners need to do more. You know, if we really want to have a new normal, even small businesses need to have a plan. They need to plan ahead. They need to think about their culture and really be proactive on developing a culture of trust and safety in their organization, of, you know, having, how do you deal with specific scenarios? You know, for example, what if somebody reports harassment? What does the boss do? What does the relationship to the boss look like? How does the boss answer? You know, and then even just about individuals in your workplace, I mean, people are starting to do implicit bias training, and there's a great, there's so many resources in the book that I mentioned about this. So definitely want to go on the Facebook page and sign up. So when we get a release date and a pre-order link, you'll be the first one to get it. But, you know, educating yourself about language that sometimes causes issues where it's not the intention of somebody to be harassing somebody, but because of what they're doing, people may be offended. And so just even training on purposeful positive communication, so we're not accidentally hurting people, we need to make sure that all our communications are clear and positive. We need to keep our hands off. I mean, this is training that companies can do that, hey, you know, we have to accept that, especially after seeing all those Me Too stories, that people can have triggers that we don't know anything about. So even a well-intentioned pat on the shoulder might be considered, you know, unwise. I mean, you know, just generally being careful. And another thing is that in organizations, there needs to be consistency between what leaders say and what they do. And new normal companies are going to have that kind of consistency. You know, even if they're lagging in policies, they're going to go ahead and do the work, you know, hire the professional help that they need to create clear communications across the company to know how they would deal with harassment claims before they ever happen. But more importantly, to create safety and a culture where, you know, the risk is minimized because you just have a culture of safety and respect, and you just have zero toleration for abuse.
Which is really important to recognize. And for you, with the writing of the book, which we've talked a little bit about in terms of the writing process, what are some things that you've learned personally, Christine, that sort of came to light and that might have even surprised you as you have been writing that book?
Oh, well, you know, I'm not surprised at the harassment that I saw because I experienced it myself. I was a little bit surprised at how what I have seen is that there are some wonderful responses on the part of men who are leading the way and are saying, you know what, it's not just enough to not be biased. It's not just enough to personally be committed to respecting women. In order for this change to happen, I need to actually be a champion for change. I need to be one of those norm entrepreneurs that Iris Spinet talks about in her book, I need to be proactive on creating this new normal for my daughters, for my sisters. And, you know, I'm seeing that there was a little bit of a backlash and a tendency for men to say, hey, this isn't me, so why do I need to be involved in this? It's kind of a women's problem. And I'm really gratified to see the people who have stepped up and said, yeah, I want to be a norm entrepreneur. I want to be a champion for women's safety and well-being. That's the good news that, you know, when I see that stepping up,
that's important.
That gives me hope. That really does, because
yes,
it's going to take the whole world. It's, you know, that it's not just one person's problem. It's all people's problems. And when we're all better off, we are all better off. And so when people step up to the plate, it just that makes me have some hope there.
Best places where people can connect with you and can also find out more about the book would be, what suggestions would you have, Christine, for that?
Well, for the book, because it still doesn't have it's in the editing process and I'm holding on through the editing process, please go to the Facebook page on facebook.com/lifebeyondmetoo. If you want to reach me, you can go to my website. It is www.christinerose.coach, COACH. Jim, I tried to get .com and they want $15,000 for it. So whoever wants to give that up, that would be awesome.
But for now, .coach works perfectly fine, right?
.coach is it, right?
Yeah.
So that's
great.
That is
it.
Yes. There's information there about speaking and coaching, and you can contact me through the website.
And again, the book, folks, is Life After #MeToo. Our special guest, Christine Rose. Next week, she'll be back with us. on August 5th, and the topic will be Powerful Nonviolence. There's a chapter dedicated to that in the book. Thanks for joining us, Christine. It's always a pleasure and a delight to have you with us, and we appreciate all the work that you're doing, and we celebrate you and all the efforts to make our world a better place in the way that you do. And thanks for being on this episode of CU TV News Radio Live, and hope you have a phenomenal rest of your day, too.
Thank you, Jim, and you as well.
Thank you very much. You take care and enjoy your brother's visit there from Japan. That's really, really nice. It's nice to be surrounded by family whenever you can. Our very special guest, Christine Rose, the website christinerose.coach, Facebook page to learn more about the book, facebook.com/lifebeyondmetoo. Jim Masters here, your host, for the entire team at CU TV News Radio Live. Thanking you for your time this time. Till next time, stay tuned. More great episodes of CU TV News Radio Live coming up throughout the day. Till then, have a great day, and bye for now.
You've been listening to CU TV News Radio. If you want to learn more about our programming or perhaps be considered for a future show, visit us on the web at www.cutvnews.com. And if you enjoyed listening to today's show, subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or Stitcher and be sure to write a review. Thanks for listening, and from all of us at CU TV News Radio, we hope you have a productive and inspired day.